morning we're going to be talking about grace. What does the word grace mean to you? Grace. We have a term when we talk about people, say, well, he was a graceful man, or he was a graceful lady. I mean, you're not clumsy. What does that word in the Bible it really mean? You know, talking about grace in the Bible. It says, by grace are you saved. So, what is that talking about? The word grace literally means favor. It means someone done a favor for you that you didn't earn. You didn't work for it. You know, Apostle Paul talked about how that not by works, our salvation not a work, but, you know, if it was a work, the one I have something to boast about, it's not a work because we didn't earn it in such a way that it belongs to us and we earned it. It's by grace, a gift. Now, if someone gives you a gift, that's grace. You know, I go around and give my sister rose. I'm trying to be graceful. You know, I'm giving gifts away. That's grace. Someone gives you something. That's what grace is all about, giving something. And we look at this word grace, and we want to look at it and try to figure out from the Bible what it really means, what it's all about. When we talk about the grace in God's Word, well, in Genesis 6, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in 6 and 8. What does that really mean? You know? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We understand this, I think we'll understand grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Is that why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord? You know, if someone walks with God, does that mean they're perfect? No. That don't mean they're perfect. It means that they recognize God as the Creator and they ask His forgiveness from time to time. So they realize that He is the one who made us. And so Noah walked with God. No doubt Noah had to ask God forgiveness a few times. And Noah, they got three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. The earth was in bad shape, terrible. We talk about our society being bad, but this was terrible. All flesh had corrupted his way before him, and you know, we say that there was Noah and his three sons, and their wives went on the way, so there's eight people in all total that went on the ark. So there's only eight people in the whole world that, right? That's the way it was. They were corrupt. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh shall come before me, for the earth is filled with them, with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, and make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with fish. Did you see God's grace? Did you see God's love for Noah? For mankind. Favor or gift. That's what grace is. It's a favor. What favor did God do for Noah? What did he do for him? Didn't Noah have to build an ark? Didn't he have to work? The ark was a gift from God. It really was. You see, God gave Noah a favor. He said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the world. He gave him warning. He let him know what was coming so he could escape it. And he told him how he could escape and building this ark. So it says in Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, knew with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world within the air of righteousness, which is by faith. You see, Noah believed God. He believed in God, and also he believed what God said. And so when God said, Noah, I'm going to bring a flood upon the world, Noah never seen rain before. He believed him. He said, Noah, you got to build this ark. Noah never seen an ark before. Well, no need for a flood. Because it never rained. God knows how to do it. Exactly. A gift from God. to Noah. The grace of God to Noah. In Genesis 6:22 says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So we understand that Noah was not saved by faith alone, though he believed. His faith put him into action. His faith called him to go to work. And he worked. He worked hard to build an ark. He had a lot to do to build the ark. Look what God said about the ark. Make that ark of gopher wood. Gopher wood is kind of hard to find. I don't know where I find any today. Make an ark of gopher wood. Runs thou shalt make it, that ark will pitch it within and without a pitch. And this is the fashion, thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit thou shalt finish it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set, and the side thereof, the Lord saying, the third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Where is there the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die? Noah worked hard. Some people say it took him 120 years. Based on the fact that the scripture says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. So, for 120 years, he was building this ark. He was working hard. Him and his three sons. You can imagine, it would take a big place to put all the animals on the earth, so that they could escape the flood. The gift from God. Noah, I'm going to destroy the world. You build this ark and get in it, and you can escape that. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For with grace you say through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, when God told Noah to build this ark, he ordained some works that Noah had to do. He said, Noah, you got to build this ark, and here's how you got to build it. Had he not put the pitch in it inside of that, it was sunk. Had he not used gopher wood, I don't believe it would float. You know, he built it in Genesis 6:22, that thus did Noah put all that God commanded him. You know, he was saved by faith. And he's saved by grace. He's saved by grace through faith. And that faith is what moved him to go to work. That faith is what caused him to build the ark. Because they believed what God said, and he knew the earth was going to be destroyed, he went to work to escape that destruction. And the same way today. Today, God's given us a gift. And he's given us something to do. And he's telling us, there's going to come an end to this world. It's going to be destroyed with fire and brimstone. It's going to all burn. The elements of everything in it is going to be burned up. Here's how you escape that destruction. He's done all that for us. He's given us the same life gift, the grace of God. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There is that gift that God gave us. His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for us. That's the gift that he's given us. The grace that's handed down to us. The gift from God. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. For our guiltiness. For our debt that we could not pay. He took that debt out of the way. We were guilty, and we got a pardon through the death of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:4, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, they that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them that rose again. God would not be fair. Had he sent Jesus to die on the cross, said, I just died for some. I just take some of the sins. He took the sins of the whole world, of every soul that's committed sin of everybody who's ever lived. He took the sins upon that cross that day. He died for all. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. See, it's appeared to us all. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Therein lies the problem. He died for everybody. But not everybody is willing to live that kind of life in Jesus Christ. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the grace of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There we see the works. He got good works which God ordained before the foundation of the world. It's like your name Noah had to build that ark. But we see he died for all men. He died for us all. He took the iniquity of us all. And by that, we're all cleansed by his death. Noah had to build that ark, didn't he? He had to go to work. He had to go out and gather the trees in. He had to make all the materials up there and go to work on that. And so the same way, we got to get to work. In Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men, teaching us how we ought to work, what we ought to do. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that he shall die in your sins. So you see, what motivated Noah to work? He believed. His faith. In the same way, when we are starting out, we got to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that he did indeed die for our sins upon the cross. And that motivates us to obey, to do his will. To follow through with what he tells us. Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, yet he learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey. What do you think would happen to that ark if Noah not obeyed God? What if he just said, Lord, 3 stories is not enough. I need one for me and my family above all his animals. I don't think that ark would float. I'm quite sure it would sink. He had to do what God told him. He had to obey it. In the same way, we got to obey Jesus Christ. In John 12:42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. You see, believe. Just saying, I believe, no, not enough. Just saying, well, I believe you, Lord. That will get it done. What would happen if Noah said, Lord, I believe you, it's going to rain, and did nothing? He wouldn't have ark even with him. You see, you got to take that faith that you have in him and put it in action. Those Pharisees believed, but they didn't follow through. They would not confess it. And we know that no one that would not confess him will have salvation. James 2:20, but what about an old man that faith without works is dead? I don't think James could put it any plainer. He couldn't have said it any plainer than that. You know, you can't just say I believe and not live the life. You got to follow through. You got to obey our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning the promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffered toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all become repentant. You see, that's the next step we're going to take. Now, I believe what you want me to do, Lord, repent. And Luke 13:3 says, you know, he said, repent, you shall all likewise perish. Everybody must repent. Oh, we're lost. Acts 17:30, times back to this sickness. God winked at, but now committed to all men that were repent. You want salvation in the end? You must repent. Ignorance won't hit. You know, ignorance won't help. You can't say ignorance is bliss. Lord, I didn't know what I should do. That won't help. That won't work. He has delivered it to us, and he's told us, and it's up to us to do something with it. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You're going to have to be repent and be converted. Converted to a faith in Jesus Christ. Converted to a life that is living, faithful in Jesus Christ. Well, Noah had to put the pitch up. He had pitch without and within. the pitch kept the water out. Matthew 10:32, he says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven." We have to have this faith in us and be willing to confess into the world and be confessing in our heart. Confessing to ourselves. Confess that Christ is in us. Make that confession both within and without. Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but without confession made unto salvation." See, it's not just out the mouth, it's in the heart also. It's within and without. You have to have it inside as well as without. You just can't make that public confession. And that's all there is to it. Acts 8:37, "And Philip said, Thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered, said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We have to have that heart in our hearts and make that confession to ourselves as well as to the world. Well, Noah had to go in the ark. Didn't he? Got to do it. He had to go inside. Same thing is true for us. Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed according to promise." How do you get in him? You're baptized into him. I guess baptism is kind of like walking up a plank, going inside the ark. What God did when he went in there. He went up in the ark. God didn't take him up and put him in the ark. He had to go in on his own. Though God did shut the door after he was in. He said in Romans 6:3, "Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." You see, when we obey this baptism, putting foot into Christ, we have a new life in Jesus Christ. And we have to continue in him down through the end. Enter the ark. And they went in. They went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut them in. And then the water came and it rose it up. And it was up above the water. The water separated the living from the dead. The water separated the saved from the lost. And likewise, the same thing happens with us today. In Acts 2:47, he said, "Praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You know, though Noah walked in that ark on his own, but God put him in there. God told him to build the ark, how to do it, and what to do there. And then God told him to go in. God put him in the ark, actually. And so God puts us in the church when we walk through the process that we talked about, and he puts like going into the ark. We enter in. And then we're in there. God put us in there. Colossians 1:13, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Talking about God. Done that for us. Grace. The grace of God. Took us out of this old world, put us into the safety in Jesus Christ. In Acts 22:16, "Now why tarest thou? Rise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So when you enter in, all your past sins are left behind you. All the world is left behind you. You're going into the place of security, safety, just like Noah going into that ark. He left it all behind. What's going to happen to those who don't enter in? Those who do not obey the gospel, do not obey the faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. He says, "In flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished for their act and destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." We have to obey it. We have to obey what God has delivered for us to do. Just like Noah had to. God's grace is for all. It is. It's for everybody. Everybody had their sins cleansed when Jesus died on the cross. But, you see, that's not what we're going to be judged of. What we're going to be judged of is our obedience to the faith. What we do after that, because the grace of God appeared to all men. It was given to all men. We're all cleansed of our sins when Jesus died on that cross. 1 John 2:2, and his appropriation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. It took me a long time to understand that. It didn't make sense to me. I couldn't see it. Just recently, it seemed to open the door for me. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. He took it all. Grace, deliverer, faith. Faith, then it's obeyed, and that's where we enter into our salvation. That's how we have our salvation. That's why we escape the destruction of the world. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The faith has to be obeyed. That's what we're going to be judged by, whether or not you've obeyed the faith. That's where our judgment's coming. Romans 1 and 5, of whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Obedience to the faith. Genesis 6:22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. You see, he obeyed the faith completely, all the way through to the end. Romans 2:10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in the prison that you may be tried, and you have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. We've got to be obedient and keep the faith all the way through. You know, Noah stayed in that ark until God took him out. Until God said, you can come out. He wanted to get out. He sent out the dove, you know, to come back, and he couldn't go out. He wanted to leave, but he couldn't. And we got to stay in the ark until the end. Until the end of the world, or until we die. We got to stay in it until the end. Be faithful in it until the end. Revelation 3:16. So that because they're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I spew it out of my mouth. But I don't want them to be lukewarm. We don't want to be cast out. We want to be red hot for the Lord throughout our life. Far through to the end, our salvation. That's what Noah did. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't easy. There was hard time, trying time. But it followed through to the end. And that's what we got to do too. It's not just the beginning. You know, the beginning when we heard and believed and repented and confessed and got baptized, that's, you got to follow through. You got to continue on in the ark to the end. And it's pretty nasty sometimes. You know, most of that animals and critters, it didn't smell good. I know it didn't. That's kind of hard. But it stayed in all the way through to the end. That's what we got to do. What about your life today? Are you following through with Christ in your life today? What would you be if Christ came back today or tomorrow? Or if your life ended now? Here this morning, I hope you understand better about the grace of God. I hope you understand better the life He calls us to live. If you're subject to God for calling either way, we give you the opportunity to come and let it be known. You know, if you want to be baptized or if you want to pray for the brethren, let it be known as we stand and sing.